Welcome to the America's Jobs Team podcast. Every week, we dive deep with economic development professionals on leadership and other issues challenging our industry. Our goal is to equip listeners with the knowledge to grow their impact and influence. You are America's Jobs Team, and when you get stronger, communities thrive.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the America's Jobs Team. I'm Carla Stones, and I am thrilled, absolutely thrilled about today's interview because one of my favorite economic developers is with us today, Ms. Cecilia Harry, who is now with Colorado Springs Chamber, an economic development corporation, and has been in a couple different places in the last at least 8 years. Or so. And so I'm so excited to catch up with you, Cecilia, and honored to have you on the podcast. We always like to start the podcast out by learning a little bit about you and especially how you landed in economic development, because we know that most people in the field don't go to school necessarily for economic development or have a traditional path and kind of find their way here. So we always love to just sort of get to know you a little bit and your background before we dive into conversation, and just curious, like how you landed in economic development and certainly how you now landed in Colorado Springs.
Well, hello, Carla. I'm so excited to be here as well. Thank you for the chance to visit. So yeah, my story in terms of finding my way to economic development, I think is a fun one. My background in terms of education and interests has been psychology and social work and interacting with people and understanding how people connect and work and how to bring out the best in people. And with economic development, I didn't know what that was until I was in a Master of Social Work program at WashU in St. Louis, shout out to the Brown School. And I took a tour with a professor who was highly recommended. And he took us to a community in the St. Louis region near the airport that historically had a majority Black community, with great home ownership, good wealth, that sort of thing. And there were plans to expand the airport, and the homes in that community were purchased. And over a pretty quick period of time, relatively, the wealth just escaped that community when the home ownership was taken. And we went by bus through this community, and it's the closest thing I've ever seen to a ghost town, with crumbled foundations piled up, very little commerce, some housing, but for lower socioeconomic status families. And that was the first time I thought about, wow, business-related decisions can devastate a community or elevate a community. And wow, there's a role for social work to play in that. And I really liked that idea because I was coming from child welfare case management, something that I found very important and was very passionate about, but it was also very draining. Mm-hmm. So I loved the idea of maybe a different way to affect outcomes in a family and in a community. And so I just started to explore how economic development works and how it fits in and the ways that you can influence the outcomes for families. So now that I'm about 10 years in to economic development full-time experience, I really love thinking about how the ways that we help either bring new businesses to a region or help existing businesses expand or stay open helps more paychecks, more quality paychecks get into the hands of families. And then the ripple effects of rent getting paid or mortgages and food in the fridge and utilities and all the different ways that a good paycheck in a family's hands can make a difference for them and for the family. So that's why I do what I do and how it ties back to my passion of social work and helping people be their best. And it's just one really, really fun way to make a difference in a community.
That is awesome. And it really resonates with me because, as you probably remember, I went to school for public health. So I had the same kind of pathway as you, where I was kind of in that child advocate, you know, youth programming. And it's really amazing work, but it also is really draining. And you see a lot of things that are were just really, you know, made my stomach hurt. And I was drawn to economic development for many of those same reasons that you were, that it just really felt like it was that adage that Ron says of the greatest force for change is a job. You know, if we can get those quality paychecks, that we can truly start to do something about a poverty cycle versus kind of just being what felt like being stuck in that cycle sometimes. So I love that. So tell us a little bit about Colorado Springs and how you got there. Like, how long have you been there? What are you most looking forward to in your role? Give us a little download on life in Colorado.
Well, I'm claiming new status in this community as long as I can. It was about this time, October 2019, a year ago, where I had just completed the interview process and we were trying to figure out how we would make this work and how it would fit together to relocate the family from Wisconsin. You can tell by my accent, I've spent a lot of time in the Midwest. And for us, it was just a really great opportunity that was brought to my attention. And it's such a fun market. It has such a great reputation. So even though I wasn't ready for a change, I decided to check it out to see if it was something that was a fit for me and the community and my family. And the interview process was just really exciting, getting to see the community and all the different ways that it's grown, why it deserves the national rankings that it's received recently related to quality of life and desirable place to live and that sort of thing. That was all really exciting. But on the more technical side of things with the role and with the organization, they were looking for a leader with a strong track record of building collaboration and enthusiasm within a community and also just getting good work done. And so I was really excited to talk about how I had done that in other communities and how I could see myself doing that here in Colorado Springs. It's a great region, great team, really good partners across the region, both municipal partners, utilities, and then just the tie into the larger mega region of the Front Range of Colorado is really exciting and something I'm really interested to explore and better promote for the state and for the greater region. So all those things just kind of came together in this place. It would be a great spot for your family for a long time, and you won't get bored here, Cecilia. You'll be having fun doing good work in your role for a long time.
That's incredible. And I can't even imagine, and I'd love to hear from you, like, you know, if you were going through the interview process this time last year, when I think about 2020, it's certainly been a year of change. Many of us weren't, you know, interviewing for new jobs or taking on new roles in 2020. What's your leadership journey been like in the year of 2020? You not only dealt with everything that every other leader that's listening today dealt with, but you also were in a brand new role. So how has that worked out for you? And what were some of the obstacles that you've had to overcome?
Yeah, I'll say it's gone well, but obviously not ideally. And there's spots where I'm very excited about how just the nuttiness of 2020 has accelerated portions of my presence in the community. But honestly, I'm really disappointed that a lot of my favorite parts about being in economic development have been delayed or slower to develop. So folks understand how important it is in a new community to just get out there and see the employers, tour their facilities, talk to them about how it works and how things fit in. And being 90 days into the role and getting your review in quarantine, that summarizes really well what the challenge has been. So I got to see several employers, but not all of them, not as many as I had hoped. With the pandemic hitting so early, one of the things I'm really grateful for is that it was a moment for economic developers, right? Mm-hmm. And we had to seize that moment as leaders and raise our hand and say, we know what to do. We want to convene. This is where we want to lead. This is where we want to support this partner leading. And I just took that opportunity. The CEO here, Dirk Draper, trusted me and just was like, go do it. Go do what you need to do. And so I just took that chance, not knowing if I had built enough credibility with key partners yet. But what ended up happening was those key partners responded and convened when I asked and supported when we said we wanted to lead something, raised their hand when they felt they were the right folks to lead a specific initiative or arm of response. And then we followed behind them. And so that just really actually established me as a leader and collaborator much more quickly than I think it would have in quote unquote normal times. So I'm really grateful for that, that I just think I was able to take the opportunity to establish myself as somebody that was dependable and not afraid to do the hard stuff when it was needed in the community. And I think that went a long way with those sorts of relationships. But again, on the flip side, you know, there's so many employers that I drive by and I'm like, oh, someday I will tour your floors. Someday. You know, I'll get to see the amazing work with your team in person. And that's just one of my favorite parts about what we do. And so that's just been kind of sad. I have a great team who's got those wonderful relationships with our existing businesses, but just selfishly, I want that and need that to have my cup full, and it'll happen someday.
Yes, hopefully someday, real soon. So talk a little bit about mentors. I know you, when you were in Omaha, you were surrounded by some pretty amazing economic developers, and I'm sure you've had others along the way. What role has mentors in this field of economic development played? Like what has that meant for you? And maybe who have been some of the mentors, and how did you kind of establish those relationships? I think sometimes they just naturally happen. And sometimes you have to say, hey, I really look up to you. Would you mind if I call and pick your brain occasionally on these types of things? How has that worked out for you? So who are they? What's it mean to you? And how did you establish that relationship?
I love that question because the mentors in my life mean so much to me. And I know I wouldn't be prepared for the role that I have now if it weren't for mentors and people in this field who were willing to make space for me and help me grow and share frustration and cheer me on and that sort of thing. Really, my mentorship experiences go back to as a student in my master's program, where I was a part of a presentation, or I was, you know, passively participating in a presentation. It was a panel of different economic developer leaders, community development leaders in the St. Louis region. And people were sharing how they got to where they were in their different roles with municipalities or nonprofits. And I just started scribbling furiously. And that was the first time I heard about the CECD certification and professional development organizations, both at the state level in Missouri, and then the International Economic Development Council. And I just took all these notes, and started following those people on LinkedIn. And so that was kind of not a direct mentorship, but just even when one of us sits on a panel and just shares how we got somewhere, just participating in a podcast like this, I hope that there's some young people thinking about this career path or early in this career path that get a couple nuggets from me. And so I just kind of started to gobble up little tips here and there, researching those more formal avenues to gain training and experience in the field. And then just by being engaged and involved in those professional development organizations, I was formally and informally matched with mentors. So like IEDC did a pilot mentorship program, geez, 8 years ago now, I think even longer than that. And I was paired with Kristen Fish Peterson in the Madison, Wisconsin area. And we are still very, very close. She is a dear, dear friend. And I just appreciate her friendship and her mentorship so much. I had a mentor through the CECD certification process. That's Phil Phillips in the Omaha area. Mary Ann Moon was my mentor through the OUEDI education coursework. So I've always embraced anytime there's been an opportunity to formally get matched with a mentor, I just go for it. And then you mentioned my time in Omaha. I was just very fortunate to be in a really transparent, collaborative regional partnership housed at the Greater Omaha Chamber. And so I just had this really unique experience of being an executive director of a nonprofit EDO for a smaller community or a smaller county in the region, but officing with a just well-recognized, well-run Chamber of Commerce, Omaha Chamber One, Chamber of the Year through ACCE when I was there. So I just got to observe internally, like David Brown do his thing. Randy mm-hmm. Thalen was there at the time. He's now a Downtown Denver partnership. Just soaked it all up. Real transparent, close relationships with other executive directors in that region. That just went a long way for me. And then lastly, I'll share probably two more things. One, I call them mini mentor sessions. And it's when I'm at a conference or traveling with other economic developers, I offer to share a cab with somebody and pay the fare. And I just pick their brain for the 20 to 40 minutes that we're in the cab together. I love that. And I've learned so much and built so many relationships that way. So I highly recommend that. And then recently, before moving to Colorado Springs, I was in a year-long leadership program at a community college in Wisconsin. And I got paired with a mentor in the nonprofit community, but outside of economic development. So this person had decades of experience in hospital administration Ooh. And healthcare. And so that was really cool that we had parallels about board development and coaching a board, responding to a board, building a board, but from a very, very different perspective with a very different mission in the community. So I really recommend that too. Look outside the economic development profession as well because there's so many parallels, again, with nonprofit management or other areas and skill sets that I think can really help a leader round themselves out.
Well, I'm confident that you've already dropped a few nuggets that people will gobble up, as you said, because I think the CAB strategy is brilliant. And I 100% agree with you on, you know, kind of diversifying that mentor network in terms of not only just formal and informal mentors, but also, you know, what fields they are from, because I think we can learn a lot from people who are either leading other nonprofit organizations or in the business sector. And so having mentors, they don't all have to, you know everything about economic development or be economic developers to be incredible mentors in various ways. So in terms of your career, I'm going to ask you the toughest question of the day. And that is, what was really your toughest moment or your toughest lesson as an economic developer? Like when you look back over your career, what's the moment that you're kind of like, man, that was a really tough lesson to learn. And hopefully by sharing it, somebody out there either learns from what you went through, or maybe going through something similar now. And kind of, we can share that sentiment of like, you're not alone. Like it happens. So what's a tough lesson that you've had?
So I think something that I've had a roller coaster ride with is being a woman in the field. And so when you say like, what's the toughest lesson, there's not just one, because I could probably talk for an hour about some really challenging and often painful experiences that I've had as a woman in this field. And either the way that I felt like my voice or my flame was extinguished in a room or in a situation, or where I was held to a different standard than a male was. I wasn't given a fair shake because I wasn't a good old boy. I was kept out of the room, et cetera. So like I could kind of list a lot of things in along that theme. And that's been hard. And it's not behind me. I'm in a great space now. I feel very, very strongly about the internal team at the Colorado Springs Chamber and EDC and external partners. So I don't want anyone in my current community to be concerned, but there's just, we all know as economic developers, there's so many relationships that you have within your community, with your state and your greater region, within the kind of professional development realm and all sorts of things. So I've just had my share of encounters in all those various spaces over the last 10 years. And I just refuse to let it keep me down. And I know I have amazing things to contribute. I know that some of the experiences that have happened to me, I didn't deserve. And no one deserves that. There are lots of opportunities for me to demonstrate my worth and my value. And if that's not embraced at the table, then that's their loss, not mine. And I will move on and I will continue and I will see another day. And I'm going to put all that in the rearview mirror as much as I can. And so I guess the message to share to listeners, especially, I would say both male and female listeners. If you're a male professional, I don't think my story as a woman is unique. And we as female leaders need you to make space for us, to defer to us, to not talk over us. We don't like mansplaining. Please stop doing that. We need you. You still have a lot of privilege in the room and carry a lot of weight in conversations. So if there's a woman leader on your team or in your community that you want to build up, give her space and help put her on display for the excellent professional that you think she is and can be. And then for women, I just want to share, we have the same responsibility to each other. Some of my really challenging experiences have been with other women. And sometimes we're our own worst enemy, where somebody described it as a crab in a bucket one time, where one of us is clawing out and getting out into the sun, and we crabs pull her back in. Yeah. We can't do that to each other. And so let's remember that in terms of we have a responsibility to each other, and we can really change the fabric together. And then let's also make safe space for each other, because unfortunately these things happen. They've been happening. They will happen. It's not going to just go away one day. And we need space to unpack that and can be those safe spaces for each other to do that and help each other still do good work in the community, in the region, in the profession.
I love your heart and I love just your courage, because I think, you know, a lot of times we, when we ask that question of economic developers, they talk about a deal that went sideways or, you know, a time where they maybe made an error managing the board or something like that. And not to discredit any of those as very painful lessons, because they are, but I think you talking about how it feels for you and your experiences of being a female in this field, which for years and years has been a male dominated industry, is just so authentic. And so it takes a lot of courage to tell your story like that. So I really commend you for doing that. And I'm curious to hear from you, maybe not just on that issue, but just in general. It feels like right now we're seeing more and more really great leaders. And it's not just in economic development, but I feel like it's happening a lot in economic development, where economic developers are experiencing a lot of burnout, and we're losing a lot of really, really bright, sharp economic developers to the private sector. And at some point you begin to kind of worry about the future of our industry if we keep losing talent. And so I'm curious for you, you know, you've been through some things, hard things in your own leadership journey, and certainly also deals going astray and that kind of thing. How do you keep your energy up? Like when it's been a really rough year, or you're coming off of a rough loss or a rough moment or season, how are you kind of keeping your energy up and kind of staying connected with this field and your passion for what you do?
Well, first I'd like to share a funny story to kind of lighten the mood a little bit and relate back to deal making and that kind of thing. When I was in Nebraska, we had this amazing project where Costco was siting their first chicken processing facility. So for those of you, especially on the West Coast, who love your $4.99 rotisserie chicken, it's coming from Fremont, Nebraska. And it was just such a cool project, and ups and downs. And animal processing is a very contentious industry. And we had plenty of blowback from very passionate people in the community who had every right to share their concern and talk about how their community develops and that kind of thing. But they were mean, like mean stuff on Facebook. And yes, okay, I dressed my child up like a chicken at the city council approval meetings to cheer on our city council members. So yeah, I got cheeky as well, but it was hard. And there were just some days where I was just so over it and just didn't see the light at the end of the tunnel and that sort of thing. So I'm at the grocery store. It's quitting time. I'm looking for a bottle of wine. I'm in the grocery aisle in the liquor section. And this woman, I don't know where she comes up to me. And she's like, "Are you Cecilia Harity?" And I was like, "Oh my gosh, here we go. Here we go." Because I had been kind of pulled aside in public before and told what a piece of work I was. And I was like, "No, please just let me buy some alcohol, please." And she goes, "You're doing amazing work. And for all those people that are crying out on social media, there's tons of us who are supporting you and the mayor and what you're doing. So keep it up." And I about cried right then and there. So I just think it's important that we do that for each other. Like, so for example, right now, our public health partners are just, you know, you're talking about us leaving the profession. Our public health leaders leaving their roles is just heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. We're very fortunate that our team is here and strong in this region. But they're seeing it with their peers across the country that they're exiting because it's so hard. And that profession isn't always on the front of things, getting the brunt of negativity and that kind of thing. And so just taking that experience and remembering how important it was for some random lady to tell me to keep going in the liquor aisle to make sure that we're doing that. And I think for those of us right now, if you haven't done that lately, please thank your public health leaders, because they're where many of us have been with a really, really hard deal. So just keep that in mind. And I think just in terms of keeping going, definitely that experience with that really long, contentious project just reminded me that one, you need a team and you have to rely on each other, be honest with each other and laugh with each other, find the jokes in the awful day. Eat candy together, like whatever, like do not lose sight that there's a team behind it. And again, have a safe space to be vulnerable and to get through it with all the various emotions. I'm very fortunate that I have a very supportive husband and two children that just bring so much joy to my life. So making sure that I'm trying to balance that as much as possible. I won't pretend to know it all there. I miss that plenty, but that's really important. And just not losing sight of things. Our deals are very important. The work that we do is very important. But I really draw back to child welfare sometimes, where if I didn't do my job right, a kid could die. Mm-hmm. And here it's important, but no one's going to die overnight if I don't get this one thing right, or I wait till tomorrow to do this one thing. I'm not a surgeon where 12 hours of intense focus means the outcome of someone's life. So I try to keep it in focus too, in terms of like, okay, I need to be the best I can be for this community. And I can't do that right now because I'm taxed or my heart's not here in this moment. I need to step back mm-hmm. and I'll come back tomorrow and I'll be who I need to be. And we need to give ourselves permission to do that.
Yeah, I definitely 100% agree with that. Especially right now, I think people do have a lot of change fatigue. And I love your mention of like really shouting out and being cheerleaders for one another. And certainly our public health officials need a cheerleader, but I think as economic developers, I'm seeing that people do too. They've taken on a lot of roles that kind of creeped outside of what maybe they traditionally were focused on, and they had to kind of switch focuses and do a lot of things, grant administration and all kinds of, you know, roles that economic developers have stepped into that maybe were, you know, not their primary day-to-day. This is what we were planning to do in 2020. And they stepped in. And I think, you know, that same cheerleading to one another is so important right now. Like, I see you, you got this, which is incredible. So Cecilia, I know we're running out of time, but you are just a gem of an economic developer, a gem of a person. You just have a beautiful soul. So thank you so much for being on our podcast today, for sharing your wisdom. I know it will be extremely impactful for people who are listening today. And I just think you're incredible. And I hope that you have a great rest of your 2020. And I hope that we see each other in person somewhere in 2021. So thanks for being with us.
Thank you. Let's will it to happen.
Yes.
You know, 100%. Let's just say we're going to do it. We'll all see each other. Just thank you for the opportunity, Carla. I really enjoyed visiting with you. Thanks for making safe space for me to share some hard stuff. And I'm just really pleased to be a part of this podcast and one of the many great guests that you guys have had on. Thank you so much.
Yes. Well, we're cheering for you, big. Go do your thing and we'll catch up with you here soon.
Hey everyone, I'm here today with Steve Jast, who is the president and founder of Research on Investment and Gazelle AI. Hey Steve, it's great to speak with you today. As one of the leading voices in investment attraction and lead generation, what has stuck out the most for you over the past few months?
Hi Faye, thanks so much for the question. First and foremost, let me say that I love the content that Consultant Connect has been generating. I'd also like to take a second to wish all of our listeners continued good health. Every day is really a new adventure. We're seeing some sad stories of industries and companies in steep, unexpected decline, and we're also seeing areas of growth and opportunity. A couple of areas that have generated significant strategic discussion center around supply chain and reshoring. To help economic developers blend these into their strategic plans moving forward, we've been providing complementary data pools and access to our Gazelle AI platform.
That's really awesome, Steve. I'm sure this data has helped many economic development organizations. Can you explain how exactly Gazelle AI helps?
Sure. Yeah, great question, Faye. Our platform includes supply chain data for over 900 industries with related company listings. We also have complete company hierarchies, meaning users can build lists of companies that have an HQ in a specific state or country with manufacturing activities in other specific countries. This is ideal for economic recovery planning, reshoring business attraction strategies, understanding local supply chains, and overall investment attraction.
Wow, thanks, Steve. Hey, everyone, if you would like to activate your complimentary access to Gazelle AI, connect with Steve by emailing him at Steve, STEVE, at gazelle.ai. That's Steve at gazelle.ai. Thanks for joining us for today's episode. Tune in again next week for more insight and relevant content to the issues impacting economic development today. America's Jobs Team podcast is sponsored by Research on Investment and Gazelle AI.